Well, hello. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to another Grayscale Gorilla show. We have an exciting show here planned. We just all got back from NAB. In fact, you could tell I got back from Vegas because I still have a little bit of a cold coming off. But we have two guests here today as well. We have Chad Ashley. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing? You sound you sound a little bit better than yesterday.
You know, you're shaking hands. You're in Vegas is enough, and then you stay up late in Vegas. That'll add that'll reduce some years to your life. And then you're shaking hands, kissing babies, and then you catch a cold. So that's what happened.
I missed the babies. I didn't kiss any babies. That's why I didn't get sick.
that's really
rule
my
number
problem.
One. Stop kissing babies, dude.
We also have a special guest here on the show, none other than Michael Marr. He's our marketing manager and been at NAB a couple times. He was with us at the booth. Michael, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
Howdy, everybody. I'm doing good. I appreciate the fact that most people think we look alike, and so today we just happen to wear the same shirt.
That's amazing.
And that's how
like,
we plan
you're
it.
Right next to each other in the video, too, which is fantastic.
Can we do one of these like Skype high fives? We'll figure that
we'll
out.
Just have to do the swap the profiles every once in a while.
I'm going to get some Just for Men for my beard to make it dark, and then I'll just get a wig, and then it'll be like the complete line.
What can I say? We only employ really handsome people here at Grayscale Gorilla.
Well, I'm out.
It's right there on the list. Anyway, welcome to another show. We got some news from NAB. We got some discussion about Redshift. There's a ton of news going around there. So I don't know. Where do we get started? Michael, I'll leave it up to you. This is your second time at NAB with Grayscale Gorilla, but you've also been at NAB in the past. What were your thoughts from this year? What can we share with our audience?
Man, this was a super crazy year for me. Like normally I'm in the other world of camera equipment and production stuff. And so with you guys, it's much more being part of this awesome MoGraph scene at the Maxon booth and everything. But what a year, man. Not only did we have our little pod with our own booth for celebrating our 10 year, but that Monday announcement was just like so out of nowhere. So you guys want to talk a little Redshift first?
Yeah, that was definitely crazy.
Why don't you fill it for those of us out there, you know, really quick before we get started, something I noticed at the booth meeting our customers is that there's a lot of you out there that are busy. You're working, you're hustling, I guess you might say it. You're, you know, out there getting your job done and have less time to, you know, always comment and do all this stuff. So I just wanted to talk directly to you guys. Thank you for listening in your, maybe it's on the train on the way to work in your car and you guys are, you know, learning some of this news in between all of your jobs. And so I just want to say hi to you guys because, you know, specifically, if you haven't heard the news that we're about to talk about from Monday, we're just excited to be a part of it. So this is big news. Chad, why don't you fill us in with what the heck happened last Monday?
Yeah, so I can't believe I didn't see this coming sooner, but it caught me by surprise, too. So every time an NAB show is kicked off at the Maxon booth, they have this meeting where all the presenters get together and we just sort of like go over the week of presentations and just have like a team building kind of moment. And the Maxon CEO, David, what's his last name? Somebody help me out.
McGovern
or something. He caught up and he was like, you guys are going to want to be here at 10:30 a.m. sharp on Monday. We're going to have a big announcement. You're not going to want to miss it. It's going to be amazing. And immediately my brain is like, what is about to happen? Like, I got to figure this out. Like, what is going on? I can't believe I didn't put it together sooner. But eventually I did put it together and everything, you know, I was actually pretty right on. I had a few of the details wrong, but whatever. So we show up on Monday with everybody and the bomb is dropped and the CEO gets up and announces the Redshift acquisition. They even pulled down a little sign. They had like a sign up on the booth, which was crazy to me. Like it was almost like this reveal moment. And then they had Nicholas from Redshift get up and say a few words, but everybody's minds and jaws were like blown, like mouths are hanging open. People's faces are like, what is actually happening right now? I don't understand. I can't compute. So yes, Maxon acquired Redshift, and the internet sort of broke over that. Like, we had tons of C40 users super excited and like just saying, yes, what an absolutely smart move. Like, this is just a great, great move by Maxon. Absolutely needed to happen. And then they had the flip side where all the other DCCs, all the Maya Redshift fans and Houdini and whatnot were like, no, like so angry and like, so like, what does this mean? Are they going to drop support for all these other apps? And yeah, so it was a lot of discussions, a lot of like, I would say that everybody that I talked to in our industry was super excited. And then if you went on any forums and like talked to any of the other like DCCs, it was a mixture of like, well, that makes sense. And like, oh my God, they're going to cancel Maya Redshift or something, which is totally not true.
Right.
But yeah, it was like, it was crazy, dude. Like I was like, sort of like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, I was so excited, and then I had so many questions that I was just like, I didn't know. I was just super stoked, number one, because it's such a great move. And immediately I wanted all my questions answered. So I was like trying to hunt down people.
And that's a lot of our audience and customers and people asking us questions too. And, you know, we don't have any more info than anyone else does, right? We were at the show. We saw the announcement. We got to talk to the team. And I think there's kind of three camps, and correct me if there's other camps to be a part of. There's people that are using Redshift that see this announcement and they're like, awesome. I like backed the right horse. Now it might be, you know, more closely integrated with Cinema 4D down the road. Maybe there's other things happening. Cool beans. I don't know if people say cool beans, but they're generally saying cool beans. Second group of people are maybe Cinema 4D users that started using other renderers because they looked at the render wars and they said, I'm going to go with Octane, I'm going to go with Arnold, I'm going to go with, you know, V-Ray, whatever decision you made. And they're like, well, what does this mean to me? Am I going to be, should I switch? Should I switch now? If it's going to be more integrated with Cinema 4D, did I make the wrong decision? Can I still use, you know, my, you know, Octane in 2 years or whatever? And then there's, like you said, Chad, people that use Redshift in other platforms that are like, what does this mean for us? Because Maxon, it's now part of the Maxon family. Does this mean they're going to stop supporting it? So while we don't have any of those direct answers, I think we have a pretty good answer about first two groups. Third group is the one that nobody knows what's going to happen. They say that they're going to continue to still support Redshift on all these platforms, and it makes sense that they would. You know, Chad, I think you brought up during the show, maybe it's probably not a perfect analogy, but what happened when Arnold was acquired by Autodesk, and how did that go down? Because you could still use Arnold in Cinema 4D, even though Autodesk owns it. Maybe there's an analogy we could see how they handled it, and maybe that'll kind of give us a sense of what might happen with Redshift.
Yeah, so that is something I bring up every time anybody asks me that question. And I'm always saying, like, listen, it would not make any sense for them to shut the doors on all of the other revenue streams. Like, why would you not want to make money in other areas? Why would you want to limit that? So that makes no sense. That's number one, is like, why would you limit its ability to make money? And then the other big thing is looking at the two companies. So number one, Autodesk acquired Arnold. They maintained really strong relationships with other DCCs, not just Maya and 3ds Max. And they were able to continue that growth in the other applications, no problem, because that's who they are. And they don't want to limit Arnold's ability to get into other studios and be used and be useful. So it's the same thing with Redshift. But Redshift is not going to be like, no, we're going to close the doors and that's it. There's also something that you need to remember too, and that is Autodesk is different than Maxon, right? So Autodesk is arguably a large sort of faceless corporation that has a bad reputation of acquiring and killing, or acquiring and absorbing. And Maxon are actually like pretty, you can see who's in charge. You know who's leading the charge on all of their initiatives, and you know the people running the company. It's a very transparent sort of company, and they don't have anything in their record that I'm aware of. I mean, somebody might be able to prove me wrong, that shows any sort of behavior like that. They are cool people. That's why we all love their software, and we love going to do events with them, because they're actually good people. And that's just not in their DNA to like acquire and like kill for the sake of like competition or something. So yeah, I put your fears at rest. There really isn't any indication that they're going to close down other DCC support. Now that probably, I will say this, it will mean that Redshift and Cinema 4D will have a really good integration. It might be, I would even say it could even be the best integration based on the support that they'll get from the Maxon team. So there's that. So that is definitely something to think about. But, I mean, you could look at the integration of Arnold into Maya versus Arnold into Cinema 4D, and I would argue they're just as strong. So it really, time will tell, but I would say you probably don't need to worry.
Yeah, and the thing I keep telling people too, and they're asking all these questions, is that for the most part, not a lot will change in the next probably 6 to 12 months, right? It just has a new owner. Okay. Maxon now owns it, but it's still, you know, you still pay extra for a license. It's still sold in all other platforms. Like, to the normal user, if they just didn't hear this news, they probably wouldn't even notice anything changing for at least quite a few months. Now, down the road, we can speculate, right? We could guess at what they might do, the obviously closer integration. Maybe it's bundled in one day, or there's always things that might happen down the road. But as of right now, not a lot is changing for the Redshift users. The only thing I would think is changing is what would be recommended to those of you who are looking to enter the render wars. For those of you that are looking at, should I get Arnold? Should I get Octane? Should I get this? Should I get that? Should I get Redshift? The like pointing at the Redshift button is, it just got a lot more, that button just got a lot bigger. It makes a lot more sense for those of you out there wondering what render to get, to start to look more into Redshift because of that.
I agree. And I think that was the next question a lot of people coming up to me asking is like, well, now what do you recommend now? And it's kind of like, well, it's kind of hard not to recommend Redshift because it's going to be the de facto, it's going to be the renderer. So I think that obviously if you're using something else and it's working for you, that's what's most important. And I will say that some people just are not going to be interested in Redshift because they like Octane, they like Arnold, whatever. Maybe they're on a Mac and they're using Arnold, which we'll get into that in a minute. There's the whole Mac discussion. But yeah, I would think that I think that I recommended Redshift pretty heavily after this announcement, more than I would have normally, because I'm looking at a year, like you said, a year down the line, 2 years down the line, where I hope that it is integrated, that it ships with Cinema 4D. And I would hope that the licensing is working. You know, you don't have to have any other weird licensing. I would hope that maybe you get a few render nodes built in. Just saying, that would be great. And you know, so many other things. Like one of the things that I love about using Arnold is its ability to use the C4D noises. And they worked out a deal with Maxon and got the noises and integrated them natively, so they're not baked out or anything. Arnold uses the C4D noises natively, and that's super great. Like, that is like one of my favorite things. So immediately I went up to I forget who I was talking to. It might have been Rick or somebody, and I was like, you know, hey, does this mean that they're going to get the C4D noises? You know, how soon can we get that? And they were basically like, yeah, now there's no reason to worry about, you know, them getting the rights to having that code or whatnot. Like, it's going to just happen. And I'm like, yes, thank God. So there's going to be a lot of that. So a lot of that integration stuff, which is going to be key. It's going to make it a lot easier to recommend Redshift to people, honestly.
Yeah. And I'm sure we'll have more to say. I know, Michael, you have, we have an article that is up on the site right now about about the Redshift acquisition, everything, right?
Right. So while you guys were in the audience listening to the announcement, I was furiously typing at the pod, like trying to get the news out as quickly as possible. We do have like a general overview, like what Maxon has officially said. So it's not much outside of Redshift has joined the family. They haven't given much like in deadlines or costs or anything like that. But we also did round up a bunch of our getting started with Redshift stuff, as well as like suggested tutorials, tools, things like that, that we've actively been using. Because honestly, this timed up so well with, you know, Nick's PC switch, where we just did a video about, you know, the quick tips you learned from Redshift. So for us, this news was awesome, like perfect timing. Like, it worked out great for us.
Made my presentation even more exciting. I showed a lot of behind the scenes on some renders that I've made with Redshift and some of our Redshift tools, stuff I've learned from the training. And I made this presentation for NAB. And at first I was a little like, there's a lot of Redshift in this presentation. I hope Maxon's okay with that. And then after Monday, I was like, I think they'll be.
Yeah.
So let's move into maybe some of that. We had some killer presentations. And we could talk about our presentations. I know, Chad, you had one as well, including some of the other ones that we saw. And then we should also include some of the other announcements around the show, like from Adobe and some other software that our users use. So, Chad, what were your thoughts about the Maxon booth in general, and you know, being at the booth, but also the presentation?
Yeah, so because we had our own little pod, I didn't really see a whole lot. I had to just sort of like duck away when I could to see the other presentations and whatnot. But so the Maxon booth itself, I think that was the last show that booth setup was going to be around. So the next booth that Maxon is going to use will be a completely new design of the booth, which I'm excited about. So that was kind of cool. Like the last time we were going to see that setup with the, you know, the look and whatnot. The presentations, I think the ones that I saw were fantastic. I mean, the lineup was like insanely deep with talent and like a lot. Yeah, it was stacked. And like, it felt like there was more people than usual. I don't know if that's actually true, but it definitely seemed like it was like, boom, boom, boom. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And so the booth was like constantly packed. There was like constantly a great crowd around there. And yeah, it was awesome, man. Like seeing everybody. I'm trying to think of like which one stood out to me.
A lot of great presenters.
Yeah, you guys might know more than me because I was kind of like tied to our pod. But I hung out with everybody after hours and stuff, but I didn't really see a ton of the presentation. So maybe you guys have more insight on that.
Man, I thought it was just fun. So I've been with you guys for a little over a year now. So as I've been gaining my feet in this world, you know, I started joining like all the different like render communities and things like that to see what everybody's working on. And to start like reaching out to people that are now presenting at the booth was like super cool. So like to finally meet people like Aaron Kovrit in person. We met Hondell, who showed off some Spider-Man Far From Home stuff. And man, there was just like,
oh, yeah,
so many.
I think I did catch part of that. That was great.
But I think since I was also working the booth, I only got to enjoy some of the pure chaos of my favorite presentations of the week, which were the insanity of the Beeple Everyday Renders.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
So let me set this up. I totally forgot about that too. Wow. That was an amazing part of the show. So Beeple was asked to do his daily renders live at the Maxon booth. And I from what I've understood, Mike kind of reluctantly agreed and said, yeah, okay, yeah. I mean, if you've seen Mike speak before, you might get a really bad Beeple impression out of me. We'll see.
Oh man, but it'd be hard like, to do without swearing.
Excuse me, maybe not with my voice. But in classic Beeple fashion, Mike, his name's also Mike, said, hey, I don't want to sit, like, go up there and just talk and like show, like, I can't work and talk at the same time. I'd rather have people up there with me. So I was honored to be asked to go up there with Beeple as he did a daily render. So is Chad, and so is our buddy EJ. So for all 3 days, he kind of had an MC behind him, either getting the audience, you know, participation, or making, you know, making fun of the render, or it was up to whoever was up there. So if you haven't seen those, they were a blast to do. The videos are going to be up shortly. Make sure you set some time aside, A, to watch the craziness, which is just people interacting with people, but two is to watch an actual daily render that he's been doing for over 4,000 days now. Watch one of these come alive in front of your eyes in like 50 minutes and see his process and see how he kind of thinks through things and how he lights things and how he really pays attention to some things and other things he's just like, yeah, whatever. And so just as an artist, it's always really interesting to see how somebody that makes stuff you like, how they get it done. And this is a really like peek behind the curtain on how Beeple gets this stuff done every day. And so, yeah, I mean, I could talk about my experience hanging and talking with Michael, but what was yours like, Chad?
I had the first crazy one. I had the first one, so nobody, including me, knew what was going to happen or I didn't even know what we were doing, to be honest. All he told me before NAB was like, pick out some models, make a lib4d file, don't show me any of them, and I'm going to make something out of them when I do my thing. And so I sort of owed him some revenge for something else that happened earlier in the year. Those of you that were at the LA MoGraph Plus thing, like Emotion Plus, know what I'm talking about. But so I went above and beyond in trying to find the most weird, bizarre models I could find. And I was so excited by this library that I made. And I asked Mike, I'm like, dude, I hope you're ready for this because I'm going to hit you hard with some really weird models. And he was like, just remember that you're going to be up there too, talking, and you'll have to explain whatever you pick. And I immediately deleted half the models that I picked out. I was like, oh, that's right. Okay, well, I'm going to lose that. I'm going to lose this. And so, yeah, let's just say my models were still really weird, but imagine something twice as weird and maybe a little inappropriate. And like that, so that's what it would have been. So then we get up there, and I have no idea what we're supposed to be doing. It's a complete, in my head, like, what are we doing? Are you just going to, you want me to talk? You want me to ask questions? So it turned into this like sort of like train wreck experience when I did it. But it was funny because, you know, Beeple's Beeple, and you just kind of like work with him and let him do his thing. And I'm trying to like make sense of what he's doing. I'm trying to explain stuff, and I'm like just along for the ride at that point. And I think that while I was up there, I was like saying to myself, oh my God, this is awful. Like, this is a serious train wreck. Like, I don't know why I should have never agreed to do this. And then afterwards, everybody was like, oh my God, that was great. It was so funny and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? Because I was up there sweating bullets. Like, what are we doing right now? But no, I think it turned out good. And then so after that little, that was like the first time he did it. And then I watched when you went up there, Nick, and then I watched when EJ went up there, and I could see like the thing sort of took on a formula as it went on. And I think I'm glad I was the first one, because I think that it was uncomfortable for me and him probably, but ultimately it made for good entertainment. So that's always what matters, I guess.
They are entertaining. And he said too, after the show, he's like, that was more fun than I thought it'd be. Like, I need to like try to include that in future renders and stuff. So he also dug it, which was great. Again, seeing how he works is worth it. All the antics is worth it. And he actually had a quote. We got to find that quote. I asked him, I go, hey, you had something that looked really good on your screen at least 6 times now, but you like deleted it or started moving the camera or you got a new model. Like, what was it about those things? What was it about that scene that made you want to, you know, continue to refine it, that you knew it could be better? And at first, of course, he's like, you know, stop
people
trying to teach people, man. And I go, no, dude, like I, it's not every day I get to stand behind people and ask them questions. I'm like, what is it about that? And finally, kind of reluctantly, he said something along the lines of, you know, I just work until I'm not embarrassed to show it. And then I hit render and I move on with my day. And I was like, that was so weirdly profound, people. Thank you. True. Like, I think a lot of us are in that position where we're just like, it's not quite there yet. I know I can do better. And you're just tweaking and playing and moving stuff around sometimes, or maybe it's a different light or a different material. And you're trying until it looks better because you know it looks fine. Your client might even think it's fine, but you know inside, like, okay, this could be better. And there was something really profound about that. So see, people, I got something out of you. You're teaching, you don't even know it.
Yeah, we'll make sure we'll share those videos when they're done. But you know, Maxon is usually pretty quick about getting those out. But I have a feeling they have some bleeping to do for that episode.
Definitely more swearing per hour than average tutorial, that I'll say. Excuse my voice. Definitely stay tuned for that. We'll have those videos up as soon as they're out. Maxon's been extra fast lately about getting those out, and I'm sure we'll come back to the booth and other things going on. But Michael, what else launched around the show? I know we were busy a lot with the booth, but what else happened? We want to keep going, motion designers. You know,
we'll get back to like some of the fun stuff we did. But as far as like news goes, I think two of the biggest things that, you know, this audience would be most interested in was the week before Adobe dropped all their updates, of which one was the content aware fill for After Effects, which was like the Photoshop feature that now applies to video. I've seen surprisingly really impressive uses of that already. And I've also seen some pretty funny ones where you're like, it's not quite there, but there are some quality memes out there too, for those who follow like MoGraph.
So many good memes. Content aware memes.
But I think the biggest news for, at least for me and for Chad, was Fusion Lives.
Yes, dude, that's huge. So yeah, Fusion 16. So for those of you that were like sort of like not aware of what was going on with Fusion, there was talk about killing the standalone Fusion because it exists in Resolve. And tons of people were like, oh, no, do that. Like, that sucks. Like, we need that. And so they listened, which is like, that's weird. That's new. So basically, they brought back Fusion Standalone, or I shouldn't say brought back. They basically updated it and said, hey, this is something that's going to live. Don't worry about it. And so it's a Fusion Standalone. They updated the core to match the one that's in Resolve. It's fully GPU accelerated. So it works on, but this is the great part, works on CUDA, which is a given, OpenCL and Metal. So you can use this cross-platform. You can use it on Mac. You can use it on PC. Other great reason that I'm excited about it is because I've been hearing from a lot of users that they want to move into node-based compositing, but Nuke is way too expensive. I think it's still like $8,000 or $10,000. So that's just not, I mean, including me, like, I'm not going to spend that on a node-based compositor. But for $300, you get Fusion. And you get free network rendering, which was, as a person that worked in a studio, that is huge to be able to install it on render slaves and also have that be free. Like, that, you don't get that with Nuke. Yeah.
We should mention, like, going forward with Blackmagic software specifically, there is a Fusion panel that they brought into Resolve. So you can do editing, color grading, and some light compositing and some VFX within Resolve. And if you just want to test that out, that's free. So you can download a free copy of Resolve 16 right now and play with that panel. But if you want the Fusion standalone, you are going to have to buy Fusion Studio, which is only $300, and that'll get you the dongle. What's nice, though, is the Fusion dongle works with Studio, DaVinci Resolve. They keep changing the name. DaVinci Resolve Studio dongle. So if you have either one of those dongles, you have the standalones for both of these apps, which is
Did you just say DaVinci Resolve Studio dongle?
The DaVinci Resolve got it. Studio
man, dongle. Man, that makes me feel better about some of our bundle names, you know?
Well,
pretty good.
I just want to say that I wish more companies did dongles. Like, I might be alone on this, but I love knowing that I can just unplug that dongle and that's my license, and I can just plug it back in anywhere. Like V-Ray for 3ds Max had a very similar workflow, and Fusion's had this for a while, but I don't even care. Like, I don't mind waiting a day to get a dongle and, you know, come through FedEx, and now I just don't ever have to worry about, did I set up my FlexLM server license thingy right? Did I sign? You know what I mean? Like, just plug it in and go. Like, I wish more places did that. Just saying.
It seems like there's got to be a more modern version of that, right? Like, there's got to be something like plug your phone in and, you know.
Oh, dude, like, that would be great too. If there was like a, if there, that's actually, that's got to exist, right? Like a little.
They've got to have something probably like that. Like, look, my phone's next to me. It's on the network. I have a license. Let me use it. And then I'm a freelancer. I go somewhere else. And then, you know, just check my phone. I'm good.
Dude, I got that, that needs
if
to
that
happen.
Doesn't exist, yeah, if that doesn't exist, somebody at one of those companies just heard that and was like, oh, we could get that.
Dude, I got to believe that exists. But that's actually, that would be so, that'd be great, you know, because the
let's,
one thing.
Let's trademark it before they get any ideas.
Yeah, it's a huge, it's a huge pain in the butt to, like, you know, the Creative Cloud, you got to, like, log in and then, like, oh, I forgot to log out of that one machine, so now I got to log out of everywhere. It's like, dude, can we just make this easier?
Please? I mean, I think the login is so far the easiest one. And because well, they make it easy is, to unlog in, you know,
it
like
is for most people, but you also have to remember that, you know, for studio level stuff where the dongle does come into play is, you know, we've even talked to a few customers this week or last week at NAB where they don't have internet access. So they can't right. log in. Like they have to have a dongle because they're in like the super secret Marvel room or, you know, one of these big companies that they have to lock all their media down.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. You know, I got to say thanks to those of you, if you're listening, you know, for coming up and sharing your stories about that, because it's something that we knew existed, but not as much as I thought previously. So like Michael Sands, like a lot of our customers are working on either really secretive stuff that can't get out. So they put up these firewalls. You can't go online, can't download plugins, can't watch tutorials on that machine. And of course that affects, you know, how we're trying to deliver stuff to our audience. So it was really interesting to kind of hear how you do the workaround and how you get stuff installed. And so thanks for sharing about that. And you know, we're looking at solving that. We already have a solution for those of you that are looking at doing that through software. So we've been working with admins that are in charge of those types of systems and give them all the installers they need so that they can quickly, you know, open up the firewall, go in, install all of our stuff, and then get out really quickly. And then for training, we're actually looking at a way to figure that one out well. So a lot of you came up and said, hey, we want to watch more of your training, but you know, it's, I have to go watch it on my laptop and, you know, we're figuring out that solution as well. So I wanted to thank you for coming up, sharing those stories, but that goes for all of you out there. We got so many of our customers coming up, sharing how they've been using our plugins, our training lately, you know, giving us feedback on, you know, what they've been using in their projects. And that stuff helps us out like crazy. And in fact, if you're listening and you're looking at all this Redshift news, you want to stay tuned because we're gonna drop some news here in just a minute about the Redshift announcement and about some Grayscale Gorilla stuff coming that's might even be out by the time this is this podcast is out. So stay tuned for that as well. So anything else on the show floor when it comes to NAB, or should we start talking about, you know, all the events and parties and all this stuff? Is there anything else we're missing?
I'm trying to think. Like, I can't think of anything. Those two things, like, just blew my mind, and, like, I was sort of, like, preoccupied with that, and, you know.
The Redshift announcement kind of trumped a lot of other stuff we're looking into, like, that's...
It was kind of like, whoa, okay, so that's pretty cool.
The only other thing that I would mention was, for those of you who came to the show and stopped by the booth, this is kind of, like, a little insider for us, where we got to demo some of our new products that we'll be launching both like in the next coming weeks and then, you know, throughout the rest of the year. But I think most people that either work remotely or freelance can kind of relate to this, where, you know, we're so secluded, like, you know, we meet all the time, but we're also just working on our own stuff. And we're just sitting here like, oh man, is this going to work? Like, people are they going to like this or not like this? Or is this a really good idea? Or is this a really bad idea? And we kind of went into that show with a little bit of that panic. And it's like, man, I wonder what the reaction is going to be. And then just demoing some of the new stuff and like the reaction we got, just like, it wasn't like a weight was lifted. It was so much more of like, I got this fire in my gut that I was like, oh my, I got to get these out as quickly as possible. Like, people really want this. And it was just so awesome to leave NAB just like just pumped, man. It's really exciting what we've got coming up.
Yeah, that was exciting to be able to show off some stuff coming out and get feedback directly from our actual customers, see how they would use it. Got a just ton of positive feedback about that. So thanks to all of you as well for stopping by, being a part of that. If you saw the demo, Chad had a really killer demo going on at a certain point where, which kind of ties into what we're announcing a little bit later, where he had, you know, his Redshift workflow and how you can go from nothing to all of this stuff on the screen, including something that we're launching soon. It was just a really compelling demo, and to see our customers go like, "Oh, I didn't know you could do that with." I didn't know Gorilla Cam did that. I just we love seeing that stuff. We don't get to participate in that. We're all, you know, in our offices, and we don't see how our customers are always using our software. So it was really, really fun to see that.
Yeah, it was just fun. Also, just we work all remotely, so anytime that we can get together, the three of us, and get together with our customers and other people out there in the industry, like, I just love that. Like, it essentially, like, fuels my year. Like, all these events kind of fuel my year because I'm working remote, as everybody here is. So I feed off that. Like, I love showing people our stuff and, like, seeing what they're doing, how they're using our tools. All that stuff sort of, like, gets me through these periods of time when I'm, like, isolated and, like, head down working.
You know, and just to extrapolate that for those of you listening, I hear the same thing when you're working as a freelancer. Even if you're working, a lot of you out there might be in a small team in a studio somewhere, and they're always asking, like, how do I be around more people? How do I get more involved? Maybe in a local meetup or something. Like, how do I find my people? And maybe Chad, you're saying a little bit about this, but being around, like, your people that nerd out about the same things that you do and are excited about, you know, a render being acquired, like that's it could be difficult depending on where you work, right? So I always highly encourage, if you didn't go to NAB or if you wanted to go and couldn't go, try to make plans to one of these shows, either NAB, SIGGRAPH. If you're in LA, definitely go to SIGGRAPH this year. You know, these shows are sometimes less about, you know, all the new fun stuff. You probably learn about that on your computer the day of, but it's more about meeting people, being around other people, and learning from them, and just being around that energy. I think you're saying the same thing, and you'd agree, Michael. Like, the energy of just being around other people that are into this stuff, that are geeking out about it. We are sharing ideas, and just kind of being a part of that community is worth more than, you know, being front row at a demo. So definitely check it out. If you have the means, if you have the time to make it to one of these shows, make sure you try to make it out.
Yeah. I'm going to spin off of that with so much of just, like, even if you're in a small remote area, like, there is a MoGraph meetup near you at some point. Like, just keep looking for those, because there are some to find. But speaking of, the NAB MoGraph meetup was ridiculous. Again, full house, totally packed building. I don't even remember how many people it was, but they did end up shutting the doors, and that was a blast.
Yeah, packed house.
So killer.
Packed house again. Huge thanks to all the sponsors, and extra big thanks to School of Motion. They do such a great job. Their team really helps put that show on, and it was even better this year. You know, so forget the final number, but it might have been close to 400.
Yeah,
like, it was up packed there. The place. So thanks to those of you who showed up. If you couldn't make it in, you know, get there next year earlier.
Well, there's good news for that. We're as one of the sponsors, we actively talk with, like, School of Motion and the other sponsors about these meetups. And obviously, so this is the second of these big ones, but it was, like, really the third LA or Las Vegas MoGraph meetup. And they're such a hit. We're already actively working on bringing these to all the big events. So stay tuned for news about the big MoGraph meetup at SIGGRAPH and potentially another one at Adobe Max later this year. So this is not the end of the show. It's only the beginning of the party.
You heard it here.
That's right. Well, hey, you know, as we get toward the end here, you know, I wanted to let those of you out there that remember those three camps I described, like people that are using Redshift, there's the people that used other renderers, and then the people that use Redshift and other platforms. For those of you in the first two camps, you know, we looked at this announcement and we came home and we started talking about what this means, not only to our customers, but also to the future of, you know, Grayscale Gorilla and what we do for training and all this kind of stuff. And we wanted to basically put together something we've never done before, which is a limited edition suite that is all of our Redshift stuff that we currently have here at Grayscale Gorilla. Stuff that we use in almost every project, stuff that I've used in all of my renders since I got my PC, and put it all together and do a limited edition, you know, limited time suite for those of you who are looking into Redshift, either looking into making the switch to Redshift or have recently made the switch and wanted to give yourself or your team the everything you need to use Redshift and use it quickly, and more importantly, to learn it. So this is what we've never done before, which is include training in one of our suites. So it's a, like I said, limited edition, limited time only, limited price. If you are recently into Redshift, looking at switching for you or your team, definitely go to the site. It's going to be live the day that this podcast comes out. So if you're hearing my voice, odds are it's still up. Definitely go check it out. It's going to be a price we've never done either here at Grayscale Gorilla. It's going to be half off. So if you go buy all of our stuff that is compatible with Redshift on its own, you could take half off of that and go get the suite instead and get, I'm sure I'll miss something, but Michael, back me up. Let's start with the training. First of all, you get the Grayscale Gorilla's Guide to Redshift, which I started watching as soon as I got my PC, has helped me a ton on understanding how Redshift works, got me up and running with making beautiful renders. Then let's talk about our lighting tools. Both of our lighting tools, Lightkit Pro 3 and HDRI Link, including all of our HDRIs, are included. So that's, you know, thousands of lighting scenarios, and then, you know, hundreds of thousands if you combine them all together to create the perfect lighting for your next Redshift render. Then we got materials. We got the Everyday Material Collection, which I use exclusively. The nodes.
The shirts.
I got the shirt. So what's nice about the Everyday Material Collection is there's parts of Redshift that I want to learn later. I just wanted to get up and running with Redshift, start to play with my renders. And the node system in Redshift is really robust, but it was a little too complex to what I wanted to mess with right away. So rather than mess with that, I started using our Everyday Material Collection instead, basically learning Redshift, learning how all the camera stuff works and the renderer, kind of pushing off learning textures for now. But I have over 300 materials in our library that I could just drag and drop, change the color, and move on with my life. So that's included. Also, Gorilla Cam that I use on almost every render now, and of course, Signal. So you have the animation tools, you have the lighting tools, you have the materials. I'm not going to forget about LUTs, because LUTs are also included and they work directly in Redshift. In fact, we have a tutorial coming out soon to show you how LUTs work directly in Redshift to help color correct and give you ideas for looks. And then, of course, the training. And so all the details for all of this stuff, it's going to be on the site. Make sure you go check it out if you are looking at jumping into Redshift soon, or have recently made the decision to you know, get Redshift in on your machine, on your farm. This is the one-stop suite to get up and running with Redshift and have all the tools you need to work really, really quickly. So definitely check that out. This is something we have never done before. It won't be up forever. So definitely go check out the limited edition. I like saying limited edition. Sounds real fancy. Limited edition Redshift suite. We're really excited to get this out and get this into your hands. We wanted to make a really special offer, half off, to get this stuff into your hands. Anything I missed on that one, Michael? Did I include all of it?
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to forget LUTs, and then you brought it back. And I was like,
LUTs is that LUTs is that secret sauce, man. People don't really know about it that often.
It's, I know. Like I use it literally built on into Redshift. Everything. And it's I you know, it's, yeah, you should definitely check them out.
Yeah, if you haven't used LUTs either in Redshift or in your compositing workflow, definitely check out our tutorials on that. Like I said, we're going to have an extra one coming soon, specifically about Redshift and LUTs, how to set that up. And obviously, we're excited about the Redshift news. We hope you are too. And look for some more videos coming soon about that. And check out the suite. All right. Anything else that we missed, Michael?
Yeah, I got one last thing for us to sign off with. So most of the people that attended will know that we had some GSG swag that we created. We had these limited edition shader ball shirts that you'll start seeing people wearing, as well as some other apparel. And we, as a team, got, if Nick wants to pull his over a little bit, we finally have GSG hoodies for us in the office. And I think my favorite thing that happened last week was we took a team photo and we posted it online, and we asked everybody what our band name should be. So as a sign off, I wanted to hit you guys off with some hot names and tell me what our band name's going to be.
All right.
We've got the setup with gorillas. I think it's taken. Pretty sure we can't use that one.
Yeah, that's taken.
50 Shades of Grayscale. Chad and the Renders.
That's cute. I like that one.
You got to be our front man with that.
I like that.
I don't know if I have that in me anymore. Got to bust out my leather pants.
The Velvet Render Ground.
Oh, all right. That's cute.
All right. That's working.
The Castle of Grayscale. I'm all for that if I get to see Chad rocking like a He-Man outfit.
Oh, just God.
Like full on sword. It's too perfect.
I'm Orko.
My wife will like that.
And then rounding it out, we've got Emograph.
Ooh, I think I saw that one. That was pretty good.
And then the fan favorite, and the one that probably made me laugh out loud the hardest, the hot new tunes from Sex Particles.
Boo. Boo. Mm. Boo.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm liking the Grayskull one, I guess. That one is pretty good.
I enjoy a quality He-Man joke.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's why I like it. And Emograph, I think, is pretty good too. Both of those are my favorites.
Hey, if you have one to add, either go back to that post or just randomly put it here on YouTube. That's fine. People scrolling the comments that didn't watch the end of the show will be like, why are all these bad puns?
What is with this?
What is going on? They're like, you watched to the end. It's a little extra. You know, same here. If you watched or listened this long, you know, share with us your thoughts. What did you think about NEB? If you caught up with the news, is there something that we missed? Is there something that should be on our radar that maybe we should look more into that we didn't talk about? And as always, that's what we're trying to do here with these shows. Get you the news, get you, you know, our thoughts on it, opinions, and also kind of keep you up to date with what we're doing here at Grayscale Gorilla. It's been a big year for us. Like Chad Michael said, we celebrated our 10 years in business at the booth, and we couldn't do this without our customers. So, you know, we have a lot of amazing stuff planned this year. Cannot wait to get it out to you guys. And we're starting right away with this Redshift suite as well. So definitely check that out if you're looking into Redshift. I wanted to thank you guys. Unless there's anything else I'm missing, we can sign off. Ooh, got the GSG 10 logo. You know, I said limited edition is fun to say, but I tell you, GSG 10 logo, that's going to be collector's item.
I'll go ahead. 20. I'll put the teaser out there. If you want some of this stuff, you gotta come find us. You gotta come to the show. So
come to the show.
Come to Seagraph. We'll have a new limited edition something.
Oh,
get you some pins or some stickers. But come find us. It's worth it. It's worth the fun.
Well, thank you as always. Thank you guys for your time coming out and talking about this. And thanks to our audience for listening. And as always, we love to hear from you. Those of you I talked about you at the beginning of the show. There are those of you out there that are hustling, you're busy, you're working hard, you're rendering, you don't always have time to go comment on all this stuff. Just come say hi. You just say hi. I'm sorry, I'm busy. I understand. We understand. But we just wanted to kind of say hi directly to those of you who may want to participate more and talk and hang out, but you're getting the renders done, you're getting it done. And that's also why we're here, to help you, speed up your side of the workflow as well. So anyway, thanks to all you guys. And unless there's anything else, we'll sign off here for another Grayscale Gorilla Show.
Yeah.
Woo, woo. Woo, woo. Oh, hoodie time.
Oh, like
yeah, with all my dog hair. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.